Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm definitely going to be with you here for the next 60 minutes. We have got a fantastic show for you tonight, and as always, I know that the show is going to go rather fast. So I want to get some of the housekeeping out of the way, and after that, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Miss Jay, who's always coming to the show with a lot of energy, and I love her energy. So we're going to be covering some of the housekeeping tonight. We're certainly hoping that a number of you will tune in and get in early enough so that you can ask some questions that may be impressed upon your heart to do so that you won't miss out on this opportunity. All right, some of the housekeeping that we have is some future topics. Should you live with someone before marriage? Well, you know, people have their views and thoughts and opinions on that because a lot of people feel that you should not. A lot of people feel that if you're able to do everything that you want to do just living together, then why bother get married? So, again, this show is not our intention and not my intention. My intention, or I believe I can speak for my co-host, is not our intention to present this broadcast in a judgmental fashion. We are not here to do that. Basically, the information that we're presenting is for educational purposes only. And, you know, we're just giving opinions here. So we trust that you will be able to share your opinion with us as well. Another topic that we have forthcoming is, are the people at your church, well, this one's actually tonight, are the people at your church really your brothers and sisters or even your friends? You definitely want to stay tuned for this show tonight. That's the topic for tonight. Are the people at your church really your brothers or sisters or even your friends? Future topic also includes, if your significant other cheats on you, what should you do? Should you leave them? A lot of people say that they would, if it were them, they leave them, but come to find out when things like that do happen, it's often easier said than done. One of the other topics we have, let's see here. When you reach adult age of responsibility, do you owe your parents anything? And is social media destroying relationships? That's going to be a very interesting one as well. Let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Miss Jay, all the way from sunny South Florida. It's a pleasure having Miss Jay on because she brings a wealth of energy, and I just love her energy. And she brings wisdom. I like her line of thinking because it really is good. Miss Jay, welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I trust you are as well. Ms. Jay,
yes.
Why don't you, one of these topics that we have for the future, let me ask you, which one of those that you have heard me mention is perhaps near and dear to your heart? And if it is, kind of send a message out there to our listening audience why that's so important to you.
Oh, okay. Well, one that I believe is close to me is the brother. You can't call church people your brothers and sisters, because I feel like You need to treat church as a business because not everybody has your best interest at heart. And when it comes to church, just because somebody's a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian that's praying for you, you know? So you can't – that's just a really touchy subject for me because it's like, no. I don't call nobody my brothers and sisters unless they're actual blood, and I don't use the word friend loosely. Like, you have to mean something to me. So for me to say brother this and brother that, I'm not calling you that. I would say Mr., Mrs., Deacon, Deaconess, Pastor – whoever your whatever your title is what I'm going to call you. But if you're not family to me, I'm not going to call you brother or sister. No, that's not going to happen.
All right, just so happened that's our topic for tonight. Are the people at your church really your brothers or sisters or your friends? Ms. J, since you mentioned that one, which is tonight's topic, why do you feel, and I heard you say that because they're not really your brothers and sisters. Well, then why do you think so many people refer to others as, hello, Brother Davis, hello, Brother Sister Jones. Why do you think people refer to them as such?
I mean, they might just want to be nice, or they feel like I said, it depends for them. For me, personally, I don't use the word brother and sister loosely. I use it if you're actually my brother, if you're actually my sister. You know, you might hear me say sister if I'm referring to my sorority sister, who is actually close to me, and she's my best friend. But I don't call everybody my brother and sister. It's like, no. Do they help you when you're in need? Do they check on you outside of church? Do they call you when something's going wrong, only when something's going wrong on their behalf? Or do they call you just to talk? Do they know your kids, your family? Do they come over? You know, it's a list you have to surpass in order for you to be called a brother or a sister to me. So, and I feel like that's disrespectful to your actual brothers and sisters if you just go and willingly call everybody your sister, your brother, your cousin, your auntie. And it's like you're doing a dishonesty, like a disservice to your actual family.
Okay, you brought that up, and I want to mention something. You talk about auntie or uncle. How about the people who, let's say you have a, you know, people who are in their, let's say, 40s or 50s, and because you're that older age and you have a friend whose child may be 8 or 9, and instead of calling them Mr. or Miss, they say just call them Auntie Susan, Auntie Jay. How do you feel about that? Is that very similar to brothers and sisters of church?
I would call you ma'am. I would call you sir. But I don't feel comfortable calling you auntie for whatever. That's not how I was raised to call friends or regular people family names. That's not how I was raised. Because if I call you, oh, hey, Auntie May, and my real Auntie Michelle, by blood, is looking at me, well, how's that going to make her feel? So everybody just be your auntie now? Like, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So you're saying that are these titles something that's possibly earned?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something possibly earned?
Yep. And for that, when you say earn, like even people in my family who don't earn that title, I don't even call them auntie or uncle or whatever. You didn't earn that title. Did you help me grow in any way possible? Did you help me and my immediate family? Do you only come to me when you need something or when you think I'm failing and you want to come and gloat? No, you don't deserve the title either. So it's a two-way street. It's nothing. Nothing is more predominant than the other. The family has to earn. Just because your family don't mean you have my best interest. So they have to earn that title as well, you know, because true family will help you. And some of them, I'm pretty sure a lot of your listeners and probably you even have family members who aren't family, you know. So they have to earn that. And if you're going to be a sister or auntie to me, like, I would hope that you're there for me the same way I would be there for you. And not just a play thing, because I don't believe in the play cousins and all that.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you want to call in, if you're listening by way of internet, you can certainly call in at 347-857-1769. 347-857, that is, 1769. You know, I can relate to a lot of what you're saying, Ms. J, and that is that you mentioned something earlier. When you're down and out on maybe your what you're feeling like you're down and out and things happen, you know, are the people there for you at that time? And oftentimes, perhaps they're not. You know, you may find one or two people that might step up to offer you assistance, but most of the time I think people will probably say to you, oh, we'll pray for you. Now, isn't that, would that be considered good enough, Ms. Jade, that they say they're going to pray for you?
Nope. Because if somebody decides to pray for you, like, what are you really praying for? Are you praying that I succeed? Because not all prayers are good prayers. So I don't tell people, oh, pray for me, or no, I can pray for myself. And if you are somebody that I truly, truly trust, and you say I'm going to pray for you, I can believe that you're actually going to pray for me and my best interest and my family's best interest, and to hope that we overcome whatever it is, because not everybody prays good on you. I don't think that it's just, this might sound selfish, but everybody doesn't pray good for you. Why would you accept everybody's prayers, especially people that you don't know? You don't know who they're praying to. You don't know what they're saying in their prayers. You don't know. They might have the nicest prayers. You may never know. But it's like, what are they really praying for, and who are they praying to? Everybody don't believe in the same God. So they can say, I pray for you, but you pray to, I don't know, Lala? Who are you praying to? So
okay, that's an interesting
it's
point.
It's not to say that. Don't pray for me. Do something for me. Help me. Tell me
there you
out ways to get through this. You know, you don't have to give me money. You don't have to give me something, but help me figure out ways. Then let's do some research together. You know, let's make it happen. I can pray for myself. You're not going to pray for me harder than I can pray for myself.
Okay. All right. I think that tends to make sense. Let me ask you to stand by just a moment. We're going to go to the phone lines. And just before we go to tonight's story, let's see if we can get another comment in on here. We're going to go to Alabama, 256-698. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You are about to come on live. We're having a little technical difficulty, but we're trying to bring them in. While we're waiting for the caller to come in, Ms. Jay, have you ever had people to call you Brother, Sister Jay, or anything along those lines?
Nope. If I don't do it to other people, I wouldn't expect people to do it to me. And if they do say it, I really correct them and say, no, my name is Jada, or no, you know, you can call me Miss whatever, but I'm not your sister. Mm-mm.
Okay. So even when the pastor make that, hey, Sister Jay, then you would make it, you would correct him as well? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I say, hey, Pastor, it's Jada. You know, how are you doing? You don't have to be rude about it, but, you know, say, hey, Sister Jay, like Jada, how are you? How's everything?
Okay. All right. Hey, that seems to make sense to me. It makes sense. We're still experiencing some difficulty with that caller. I'm not sure why, but let's try. We'll try it again. Oh, yes, now we have them. Alabama, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 256-698.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you?
We're doing just great. Who do we have with us? Thank you for joining us.
Yes, this is Tess. And I want to commend Jada, yes, Ms. J, and her honesty, because I think it's so needed today. And I concur with her in some of the statements that she has made, especially with the praying aspect. So I was just talking with a friend today about prayer and people saying that they would pray over you and pray for you. And I totally agree. You know, the Bible says test the spirits, and I don't want everybody praying for me. And I think it's more of a cliche when people say, I pray for you, I'm praying for you, you know, because it's so easy to say. But I try to make it my best to pray with that person if the opportunity presents itself, even if it's on the phone or if I'm standing with them. It could be in a store anywhere. I pull them aside as much as I can and pray with them without offending them. And, you know, prayer right now in America is really delicate, especially with solidarity with the NFL and everything that's going on. So I think this is a great topic, and you all are hitting it on the nail.
Okay. Tess, we certainly appreciate that. Stand by also, and Ms. Jay, did you want to make a comment in reference to Tess?
Oh, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that, because I was hoping I really wasn't the only one feeling that way.
Oh no.
I'm glad somebody else.
No, ma'am.
That way, so I don't sound like the evil person.
No. Because everybody just can't, just, you know, and there's no offense to, and some people may mean well in certain circumstances, but every spirit, you know, doesn't mesh. And then at the same time, if they are praying for you, then so shall it be, and vice versa. So, you know, it's just discerning what's good, you know, from what's not.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask both of you all to stand by just a second. I want to go ahead and read tonight's story and get some views, get some thoughts on what you all might be thinking. As we said earlier, the topic for tonight is, are the people at your church really your brothers and sisters or even your friends? Our characters in tonight's story are Nancy and Oscar. Their last name is Davis. And, of course, if there's any Nancy or Oscar Davis out there, we certainly are not talking about you all. The names, these stories are inspired by true stories, and if it turns out that this is a story similar to your situation, then it's only coincidental. Trust me, we're not talking about any specific people that we know, and all the names here have been changed to protect the innocent anyway. The information presented is for educational purposes and should be perceived as such. Now, Oscar and Nancy Davis, better known to most of the members in their church as Brother and Sister Davis. Being referred to by your sister surname with brother or sister attached to it is often a sign of respect in a lot of cases people perceive it to be. Question is, does this mean that Nancy and Oscar are biologically associated as relatives of all the people in their church? The short answer to this, of course, is no. Again, the term of endearment in my opinion, of course, is basically to show respect, but would be deemed as a closeness. Now, the test of brother and sisterly love came to be one evening when the couple went before their fellow church members to share some heartbreaking news about Oscar being laid off from his job after working on the job for 15 years. Now, the couple has three small children. They have no idea now outside of faith as to how they're going to make ends meet. Now, prior to this happening to them, they had heard countless sermons from the same church on how the church would always be there for them. After 6 months and unable to find a job anywhere, and the unemployment benefits were about to run out, surprisingly, the couple poured out their hearts again before the church brothers and sisters in hopes of getting assistance to cover their overdue rent payment. Now, they were trying to get, you know, some assistance to pay their rent. They, after all, it's a family. They got three small children. In a private meeting with the pastor after a board meeting, to their surprise, they were told that the board members decided against loaning or giving them any funds because it was stated that the church is not a lending institution. This has brought a great deal of pain to this couple because prior to Oscar's layoff, they were faithful tithers. You know, they gave faithfully. Also, to their surprise, not one of the fellow partners stepped up to offer them any financial assistance, knowing that they have small children. The only thing members would say is, "I'm sorry to hear about losing your job. I will be praying for you." This is what the majority of their church fellow so-called brothers and sisters of the church told them. This has upset both Nancy and Oscar to the point they feel betrayed by the people who once referred to them as Brother and Sister Davis or even their friends. The question that we start out with tonight, Ms. J, I'm going to send this one to you. Is it Oscar's fault, lost his job, and it was nothing that he did, they just had a layoff? Is it his fault now that he's in this?
No, it's not. No, that it's not his fault. They had a layoff. I mean, you can't fault people for screwed up life positions, especially when they didn't do it on their own. So it's like life right now handed them a really crappy deal, and he has to deal with it. So do you just, "Oh, I'm praying for you"? Like, what's that gonna do? You need to help them. You know, to help them. And do something for them. Like a prayer is not going to help them find a house or give them an apartment or put clothes on their kids' back, it's not going to do anything, you know? And honestly, I feel like they need to find a new church, because there is no way in the world I'm going to tithe to you each and every Sunday, maybe on Wednesday if I go to the, you know, the worship service or whatever, and then when I come to you and need help, when you got the nerve to tell me you're not a lending facility, okay, so can I have my money back, man? Can I write y'all off of my taxes, because I should be getting reimbursed for that? I would feel some kind of way. So, no, it's not his fault that he's in that predicament. Things happen. Things happen. And you need people to support people to help you.
All right. So are you saying, Ms. J, that there's a good likelihood that perhaps the church should loan them the money or just give them the money? They're 3 months behind in their rent payment. And, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously going before the church, they're at a desperate point. And, Tess, we're coming back to you momentarily, but right now this couple is at a desperate point. And are you saying that the church should have loaned them that money or even given it to them? What do you think?
I mean, a church, it depends on what kind of church it is. If it's like a little rinky-dink church that it just got the same 5 people coming there every day supporting it, they might not have the money for it. But if you talk about these mega churches that got thousands of dollars in them and the pastors are driving Bentleys and Mercedes and all this other stuff, I believe that if you know somebody's in a really tough, tough predicament and you know they can't pay you back in a certain amount of time, or you just know they can't pay you back, you should be able to help without the expectation of being paid back. Here's the money. If you really want to help somebody, let me just bless you with this. Here's the money. Here you go. Now, if you want to pay me back, if you get blessed later on in life, you want to give me something back, a portion, a piece, a fraction, I don't care. You know, go ahead and do it. Because, for instance, today at work, I had a student who was in a really, really, really bad predicament. It hurt my feelings so bad, I went to the parent. And I broke down in front of them, and I just wanted to help. I wanted to help because I don't like seeing people in that predicament. I came out of my pocket, bought them shoes. I'm going to go buy clothes, buying everything I can. Do I think they're going to pay me back? No. Why? Because I want to be a blessing. That I could have easily said, oh, I'm praying for you. What is that going to do? Nothing. So the fact that the church just, I'm praying for you, and not physically doing something to better these people is shameful. And that would change churches.
All right. Tess, let me ask you, should the church loan them the money or simply give it to them? What's your take on this? We'll come back to Tess in just a moment. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is are the people at your church really your brothers or sisters?
Yes.
Are the people at your church really your brothers or sisters? Or even your friends, for that matter. And tonight's story, where our characters are Oscar and Nancy. Oscar and Nancy have been married for several years. They have 3 small children. And unfortunately, after 15 years, Oscar was laid off from his job at no fault of his own. Now, they were referred to in the church as brother and sister David. Now, when they're down on what some people would be their luck, they're down on their luck, they went to the church and poured out their heart before them, asking for some assistance to help them out with their 3 months behind on their rent. And this is a desperate situation. Oscar's employment benefits are about to halt, and so they don't know what else to do. And so the church board met, and the pastor met with them shortly thereafter. And to their surprise, he told Oscar and Nancy. Church not going to be able to loan them any money nor give them any funds, because he said that the church is really not a lending institution. But prior to that, they had been faithful tithers. And so now they're like in this dilemma, and they're totally upset. And that's where we are tonight. Are the people in your church really your brothers and sisters and your friends? And let me see if we can bring Tess back in here. Tess, are you there?
Yes. I'm here. Sorry about that.
Should you say loan,
I don't think.
Should they loan them the money? Should they give them the money? Why, either way, why or why not?
Loan, no. I don't think the church should loan the money unless it's a, not even an unless. I mean, because people may frequent the church to ask for money or resources all the time. I believe that's what the church is for. They are a lending institution because they are service-oriented. So the Davises returned their tithe. They didn't pay that. They returned their tithe faithfully unto God, as I heard the story. So I believe the church notated that, and they also had seen it, and I believe that they should become one body to help their fellow members. And the brothers and sister title itself, I mean, it's a respect title, but at the same time, it's also a doing title. And I understood why Ms. J said that you have to earn it, or it's more so a family, a familial thing. So, but most importantly, though, that would deter anybody to not want to go to church or not even want to befriend anyone, especially when they're down and out. It's already bad enough that the whole church knows your business or people can speculate, but when you need help and you just say, I'm sorry, maybe they can, that's not going to help them. Someone can just, like, give them something. They can take an offering for certain things. I mean, it depends if the church have activities. They pay for activities. They pay for artists to come. You know, you have faithful members. I believe the church is fully responsible for helping their members if they're going to help the community as well. So, yes.
Okay, so, wow. Well, should they change churches, Tess, like Ms. J said?
I think prayerfully they, you know, I'm not sure. Well, you say he just lost his job. You know, that's going to have to be something that they would have to pray about, because what if they go to the next church and it happens, you know? Because they're solely relying on a church itself, but if they change churches and if they find a better home church family, oh, I'm all for it, because sometimes, you know, change is great and uprooting is also great too.
Okay, all right. Tess, we're going to ask you to stand by just momentarily. Let's go to New York. We're going to go to 917-399. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Angela, should they be calling you Sister Angela or your husband, Brother Angela, whatever his name is?
No.
How do you feel about
No, they shouldn't be calling me that. But I would like to agree with the first caller who said that the church should be helping them out, especially the mega churches, because they're the ones that's getting rich off of their members.
Mm-hmm.
And since when the church wasn't in the lending business, when from the beginning of time, way back in time, they used to help with mortgage loans, they used to help with college tuition. And I understand if that's their rules, but if that's going to be one of their rules not to lend their members, then they need to be up forthcoming of what their rules are. So when people go to their churches, they would know what they're getting themselves into. You figured that the people in the churches put most of their tithing into the church. What if you put it into a savings account and save that tithing money? So when you have a rainy day where you lost hours at work or days at work, you can tap into your own money, and you don't need the church for that. When people understand and learn that church is a business, that's why they get the 503B or whatever, 503C, to not pay taxes, and most of these mega churches are getting it. You have pastors flying private jets, 5 or 6 cars, 3 or 4 different women they supporting, their wives. Why isn't the church investing in the same community that their members live in? The black community is an example. Why do we have so many churches on each corner, but yet our community is in disarray? But talking to a black Christian is like talking to a wall. You're tithing, you're putting your money into the church. That's an investment to me. You're helping a business to bring themselves up and establish themselves, just like they have some churches have daycare. So if you can invest in that, and now that I'm hearing churches take asking for your W-2 form, your tax return, that's a little ridiculous. And until we wake up and see that these guys are running a business, an enterprise, and they're ripping off their members, they're going to keep taking money from them and doing absolutely nothing and having no responsibility to their members.
Okay, but what about when the when they bring the Bible out to you and say that in Malachi 3:8 that you should bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that you should bring it, and that people interpret that as bringing it into the church. What about that? Do you think that people are, this is a form of conditioning? Is that what I'm hearing you say,
mm-hmm.
Angela? Angela, that was your question. Okay, looks like I'm not hearing you. Let's see what happened here. All right, Angela, go ahead.
Dr. Walker, I missed the question because I accidentally hung up. So what were you asking me?
I said, what about in the Bible where it says in Malachi 3:8, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse?
Well,
one man.
It doesn't say that tithing is money either, does it?
Okay. All right. Then how do you see tithing? What do you see tithing as?
I think it's, once again, it's a service. It could be anything. You can bring anything in to help. What were they bringing? Food? Anything that helps those members. That's what I look at tithing at.
Okay. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Warwick Show, 347-857-1769. If you're just joining us, we're talking about tonight's characters are Oscar and Nancy. Tonight's topic are the people at your church really your brothers and sisters or even your friends? I do want to comment, and if you all want to comment on that question, you will want to press 1 on your dial. And I, too, believe that, you know, when it comes to being referred to as sisters, of course they're not your biological brothers and sisters in not all cases, unless they are, in fact, real brothers and sisters. But just like in our story tonight, when Oscar and Nancy were on their lowest end because Oscar lost his job, and they have members saying that they would pray for you, but nobody stepped up to offer any financial assistance, I think that is rather disturbing, and it makes you wonder, you know, knowing that you were a faithful tither, and then will you just bring your money as instructed by the Bible to do so? But at some point, you're expecting people to show acts of kindness by reaching out to you and saying, listen, I'm going to do more than just pray for you. I'm going to do something for you. We had Tess on the line earlier, and so Ms. Jay has also indicated that. You know, these are just words that people are uttering. You know, the important thing becomes when you want to do something about it. And I agree with Ms. Jay here when it's like you need action behind your words. Now, I would also say that I believe that, you know, if you're going to have that love in the church, I see nothing wrong with being referred to as brother and sister if you're going to demonstrate that love in the church. But clearly, these people are not, from my experience, there's not always that love in the church, and there's not always that friendship. You see each other from once a week, and this is how you go. You're listening, once again, you're listening live to Dr. Jess Walker. If you want to comment, press 1 on your dial. We're about 27 minutes outside of ending tonight's broadcast. Ms. Jay, let's come back to you just for a second and ask this question. Do you think that Oscar and Nancy should have an expectation, you know, and because they haven't gotten anything the first time when they ran around, why would they go back expecting something from the church? Why not just keep going out there looking for work?
I don't think that the church should be the final stop. Like, if you need help, yes, you should go to all your resources. If you really do need help, put your pride aside and go figure out, like, who can help you immediately so that you can get back on your feet. However, you need to do your part of not going to help somebody who just is going to sit there and rely on me. You know, like, yes, I would help you to the best of my ability. But you need to be doing your part, too. Go out there. Go look for some more jobs. Go turn in some more applications. Go see who needs help. Do your part. But, you know, I feel like the church should have helped out. I'm not saying buy them a whole brand-new house, but gave them a little something to live off of for a couple months to get them caught up without being expected to be paid back. Because I know they're a business, and they can't help every single family. But you got 3 kids in the mix, so you kind of got to put the priorities where they belong, you know?
Right, of course. And let me ask you this question. Okay, the church loans them, gives them 2 of the 3 months rent. Now, another 3 months go by, they still don't have any other funds. Should the church chip in again? I mean, it's not like Oscar wasn't looking. He is diligently looking. But mm-hmm. should the church chip in again?
Go ahead.
Did the church take my tithing every month for a whole 2, 3, 5 years? Yes, absolutely. You know, Dr. Walker, I don't know if you remember when Florida had a hurricane and they were saying that Joel Osteen wouldn't open up the church. A Christian person had the nerve to say that, well, businesses don't open their doors to let people come in. Well, businesses don't serve the community the way the church does, and businesses have goods that they sell to their customers. But the church takes tithing. And I'm not talking, once again, we're talking about the churches that can afford it, because it's just not mega churches that are getting rich, but there are regular churches that you don't hear about that's making good money, and they don't pay taxes on none of this money. And if you really knew what that 503C does for them, if it's a functioning church, why can't they help their members out? First of all, church don't even build a community. Not these days. And they should be doing that. So I don't understand why the church can't step in and help their members. If it, there's churches that actually provide places for their members to stay until they can get on their feet. And then if they want to relocate, they find other churches that they can go to out of state. So why can't the church do it if they're a pillar of the community?
That's a very valid. It certainly is a very valid point. Ms. J, go ahead. We're going to bring you in, then we're going to go to the phone line. We're going to go to Tampa just after this comment. Go ahead, Ms. J.
No, I second that. If I pay my tithes every month, why are you not helping me? Like, I put in money into this church, y'all should help me too. So I agree with everything she said. That couldn't have said it better.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Tampa. We're going to go to 863-412. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hello, Dr. Walker and all your guests.
Hello, who do we have with us? And welcome.
Yeah, this is Dennis.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. Dennis, can you help us perhaps make some sense out of this? You know, we're talking about, are the people at your church really your brothers and sisters, or even your friends for that matter?
We call each other brothers and sisters, and sometimes we treat each other as brothers and sisters and not as a person of love. We do put money in the church to help the church run. We do put money in the church to help the worldwide church, the community, the state, the local conferences, the worldwide conference, for the word to be spread across the world and across the country and across our area. We at our church have had people come in. And I remember this one man saying that, you know, I've been studying with the church, and I need help now. You know, he's never been in to donate anything or to give his tithes and offering, but people come. Even though, you know, I listened to some of the ladies that have spoke tonight, they give money so the church should help them whenever they need help. But there are people who go to church every week and don't put money in, or don't put very much money in, and sometimes they do it just for show. You have to be careful. We have to be stewards of God's money, of God's church, time. The one lady was saying it doesn't have to be money, because the Bible doesn't say money, but tithes could be food and other things. But we still have to be stewards of what God has given us. If we give to the church, we need to make sure we're putting it out in a correct way. So for someone just to say, I put it in so I should get it back, that does not necessarily help the situation of the church to grow. Hello?
Yes, of course. I do hear exactly what you're saying. We went out just for a moment there. But what I want to be able to bring in is the thought, the notion that some people feel that because they're putting it in, Dennis, they feel that they're putting in tithes as if they're making a deposit in a bank. And I'm trying to bring the perspective that you're actually returning your tithe according to Malachi 3:8, that the Bible says bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. And I know that there's views on that. What's your view on that? And then we're going to go to looks like West Palm Beach. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, you bring money to the storehouse so God's word can continue to grow, continue to reach other people. You don't bring it in to get it back. If you need it back, I not need it back, but if there's a situation that you where you need to be helped, yes, the church should. We have a lady that goes to our church, and like she'll bring food like for a potluck, but only half the food she wants to save because she wants to take the other back home. What good is bringing any if you're going to take it back home?
Well, why not just bring the half to give to the church?
Right.
Right. Okay, so that's one of the things that I'm thinking. We're going to ask you to hold on, Dennis, and everybody else. We'll come right back to all of you momentarily. Let's go to 561-713. Thank you for joining us. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're at 561-713. All right, perhaps they'll come back to us. Let me go to Miss J. Miss J, let's bring you back in just for a second. Oscar and Nancy, I heard you say earlier that perhaps they need to look into the prospect of going to other churches. What are some of the other things that they could do now that they realize that maybe the church people are not really their brothers and sisters or even their friends for that matter? What should their attitude or spirit be? Now, should they just give up completely on churches altogether?
No, I don't think you should let one bad experience damage your idea of church, but I think that should be one, an eye-opener, not to call everybody your brother and sister, because one, they're not. Not everybody's going to help you. And even if the church itself didn't help them, I'm pretty sure they have sisters and brothers in the church that they rely on, and if those people didn't help them, then maybe that's an eye-opener to stop calling everybody your brother and sister. Maybe you should go to your real family and ask them for help, and maybe they might be more compassionate to help you, because obviously the church isn't helping, and yes, it's a business, and yes, they're not entitled to help you, but if they're not putting the money into building up the community, who is the money going to? Because just as well as there are people who go to church and do not tithe every week, there are more people that go to church and tithe every week. There are people making that $1 million for the house and the making a new parking lot. Somebody is paying the pastor's bills with those tithes, okay? So within that whole situation, they should have an account to, one, help the community, which is not getting done, and two, help their members. I'm not saying give all the money to the members, but they should have an account that they can write off and call it and make it a tax cut, because they're helping somebody. It's charity work. So that's something that they can do. So I wouldn't give up faith on churches. I would just be more tight-lipped about who I call family and about who I think will be able to help me, and I will go to a church that, one, will be able to help support me if I do run into something like that. Even if they don't help me financially, help me look for a job. Get me in the connection with somebody. Like, give me somebody that can help me or do something or anything, you know? It's not always about the financial aspect. You can, it's a lot more you can give rather than finances, although finances would be one of the best ones. But you're a church. Somebody there can help you get the connections you need, get the phone numbers you need, get the food, the help, the apartments you need. Somebody there is a landlord. Somebody there works at Publix. You know, they can help. And if they're not, then they're not trying hard enough. I don't know why you're a church if you're not helping people. You're supposed to help people. You're a church.
All right. Okay. Angela, we're going to bring you in just a second. Let's try to go to, let's go up 561-713. Let's try them again. Are you there? Okay, perhaps not.
Yes,
all right, Angela,
yes,
let's
yes,
bring
I'm
you
here.
Back.
I'm
okay.
In. Yes, I'm here.
All right, who's that? Who do we have on the air with us this evening?
This is Charlene.
Charlene, thank you for joining us, Charlene. Charlene, can you help us make sense out of some of this here? I mean, should the church be really identified as your brothers and sisters or even your friends when they're not willing to help you out?
Well, I think every church should have a humanitarian fund because they are definitely there to be a part of the healers of the community. And we know there are many people who are in need. The church is a hospital for sick saints. So as part of the hospital's service, it should have some funds set aside for those who are in need. Now, there should be a criterion set because we know that some people will expect you to pay for every bill every month if they know they can get it out of you. However, in our church, we set a criterion of once a year you can get money for your light bill or your rent. And that means that if it, unless there were extenuating circumstances within that year, you'd have to wait for the course of the year to get another donation for your cause. It should be definitely a donation, not a loan. I don't think the church is there in the community to serve as a financial institution. It is a hospital for sick saints to help each other through the difficult times. So that's my take on it. Hope that
okay,
helps.
That's your thought on it. I came to the realization of some of that, to be clear. But I want to be able to bring Angela back in with us just for a second. Angela, what could the church do? What should they do? Should they be more community-oriented?
Well, they're members of from the community, and I want to say once again, the church is a business or would not have a 503C for tax exemption. It is a business, and when people look it up, research it, they will find out for themselves. Don't go by what people tell you. Go look it up and read it for yourself. It is a corporation. It is a business. Okay? And yes, they should be taking donations. And I agree with the last caller said. They should have some criteria to who can get it and what the stipulations to get it for. Because there are professional scammer places to get what they can, and they have money. But then you have some rich people who are the biggest scammers too. So that's a different topic for another day also.
All right. Dennis, let's bring you back in once again. Dennis, you think there are really scammers in the church? Dennis? All right, let's go back to.
Yeah.
Do you
think
there's con artists in the church?
Yes.
Oh.
That's you got certain people that go to church for money. You got certain people go to church to scam women and men. And that's why you have to always be prayed up. Pray for that intelligence because people come to take you one way or another. Not everybody, but you have those that are there. You see, Satan was in heaven, but he thought more of himself than he did of God in heaven. So he deceived one-third of the angels. So if he can do that in heaven, he'll have people here on earth to do the same thing.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. That's an interesting perspective as well. Now, the church, more involved in the community, then, Ms. J, do you really need to go to church if that's the case? Can't you just help out in the community and call that your church? Why do people go to church anyway?
Technically, a church is a group of two more people that talk about the word. So you can have church anywhere. The church just a build. The church is not just a building. It is the people. So the people make up the church, and the actual building is just the building. So we should, like, get that, you know, settled. However, doing community service is not going to church. So some people, well, people go to church and want to get an interpretation of the Bible because not everybody interprets the Bible the same exact way, and you have to have somebody sometimes to break it down for you and tell you exactly what's going on, exactly the meaning, and they give you situations on how to apply it to your life. That's why people go to church, because they look for mutual understanding and they feel like you were anointed enough to be that person, to be able to explain the Bible. So that's why people should go to church, for all this scamming and thinking high and mighty and, you know, and want to drive the Bentleys and the Mercedes and all that good stuff while your people and members are suffering isn't cool, because nothing about that is godly. And a lot of people, why I stopped going to one of my churches is because it was always a fashion show. People looked down. If you can't afford the big hats, people can't even see when you're wearing these huge hats. But big hats and the gowns and all this other stuff, as you come in to strut and to show what you're wearing. But I would go to church, you know, a nice dress, or if it's on a Friday, I'm just going for the worship, some jeans, so I just got off work, and they're looking down on me. Like, I came here for the exact same reason what you're supposed to come here for, so why are you looking down on me, you know? So it depends on what you go to church for and who you're trying to go to church for and what you're trying to do, because, yes, community service is wonderful, but the church itself is supposed to be putting back into the community. That's the premise. We give our tithes. Part of it goes to the pastor for love offering. The other part of it goes to different humanitarian things that we do for the community. And you can do stuff all day long on your own, but if you're not trying to teach a sermon or learn the sermon while you're doing it, then that's not church.
Okay. Let's bring Charlene back in. Charlene, would you agree with that? When it comes to community service, I mean, being involved in the community, and church is where two or three are gathered, and you can have church anywhere?
Well, definitely, I do believe a church is to be involved with community service. In fact, that's what Jesus was involved with when he was on earth. He took care of those who were in need. He would heal the sick. He would tell the fishermen how to fish and provide food to feed many. So it was not just about preaching the word, it was about meeting the need. Jesus definitely did preach the word, but your life example should be as just as much of a reputation of what you're saying as what you're doing. So I definitely think the community service is a very important project to have health-related programs to teach people how to take good care of their body temple, nutrition as well as medication, and they should have education programs to teach them how to budget their finances, how to prepare for jobs, how to manage their family, how to parent with appropriate parenting instructions. There are a lot of people who miss this. You know, they don't get good instructions in some families because parents are either not there or they're just too busy even parent their children. And these kids end up raising themselves, grow up, and they just expect everybody to do for them. And they have to learn there are ways of taking care of yourself once you have the education, the training, the support. Spiritual as well as emotional and environmental support to make better steps, better strides in life. So it's important that we encourage the community to come up a step, look up, do the best you can with the temple God has given you, take good care of it, and be able to not only serve your immediate family, but to the point where you can actually serve others with the knowledge and the ability that God has given you to do.
Okay, I want to ask, of course, we're running out of time. We've got about 3.5 minutes. I want to ask each of you a question, and that question is, we'll start with you, Charlene, and ask a question. In the case of Nancy and Oscar being very disappointed at their church after being faithful tithers and Oscar losing his job of over 6 months now, and the church not willing to help them out, should Oscar and Nancy, in your opinion, Charlene, leave that church, go find another church, or just give up on church altogether?
Giving up on church is not the answer. I think they should seek a spiritual-driven church, a church that is focused on following Christ's example and being able to help one another. And like I said before, the help does not always have to be with dollars. It can be with education. It can be with emotional support. And it can be with training. But this church should be focused on healing the sick, the emotional sick, the spiritual sick, the physical sick. However, they can bring that healing to that community. That's where the church should be focused. So I don't think they should give up on church. They need to seek a Bible-driven church that follows the Christian principles of Christ of helping one another.
All right, let me ask you this question here, and we're going to seek brief answers, you all, if you would, please. And that is, if they were members of your church and they had come to you, would you say more than you'll just pray for them? Would you do?
Yes, I would definitely say more. I would do something, yes.
Okay, all right. Let's switch over to Angela. Angela, the same two questions for you. Number one is, should Oscar and Nancy, in light of their situation, recognizing that the church has not extended the love to them, should they change churches or give up on church altogether? And then secondly, basically, if they were in your church, would you do something more than just pray for them?
Yes. I would do more for them. And what I want to say is with the last, not the person who just spoke, but before that,
okay,
she said something very powerful, that people interpret the Bible different ways. And it goes back to the male caller. He said that something to the extent that, oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. What I really want to say is most people think Christ is a person. It's an action. And there could be more than just one Jesus Christ. And my belief is that we all have the capability to act like Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
And most people want to say, I'm going to pray on it. Praying doesn't help anything. It's the action put behind it from the person. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Then we're going to take Dennis, and then we're going to give the final. Dennis, same two questions briefly here. We're about 90 seconds out of closing the show. And that first question is, in light of their situation, should they find another church, give up on church altogether, and then if they were in your church, would you do something for them?
No. Don't give up on the church. And don't give up on the people in the church. Sometimes we have to go through trials and tribulations to make us strong. Sometimes the Lord knocks you down to make you look up. The church people are sinners. We all are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God.
I thank you for patiently holding. What's your first and last name?
Okay, go ahead. All right, let me, Miss J, you've got the final question, and let me give you that one. And that is the same thing, and I think you kind of answered it already, and we'll go with you and ask that question again. Should they give up on this particular church? Because some of our listeners may not have heard you. And if they were in your church and they came to you for assistance, would you?
Yeah, if I think they should give up on that church, per se, because I think it's foolish of you to continue to give the dollars that you do have to somebody in some organization that does not support you in your time of need. So, yes, I would give up on that church and wouldn't go back without even thinking twice about it. Bye. And I would be able to move on. If I knew about the situation, like I said, I'm a person of action. A similar situation happened today at work, and what I did, I jumped into it full force. Went to go do whatever I needed to do to help the family. So, of course, I would help. It might not be a lot because I'm not balling like that, but I would try to the best of my ability to make sure that they're at least comfortable for the night, for the day. And if I can't physically do it, I would find somebody that can do it or can pitch in and help me put whatever I can, you know, put it together. So if you can't help me, then don't expect me to sit there and give you my money every single Sunday, you know. That's my standpoint on it.
And on that note, we are clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my callers, those of you all we weren't able to get to tonight. Thank you for trying as well. As always, I want to thank those of you that did get in tonight. Thank you for taking time out to spend that last hour with us. Also want to tell you that next week, join us next week, our show topic will be, if your significant other cheats on you, what should you do? Should you leave them? Ms. J, just give us a synopsis of that. In your opinion, just give them a heads up. If your significant other cheats on you, should you just bail out on them or should you just forgive them, even if it takes 7 times to forgive them?
Okay, 7 times. Like I said before, cheating is a very touchy subject, so it's different kinds of cheating, emotional, physical, all of that. And if you have kids, if you have assets, if you have land together, are you really going to get a divorce for one slip-up? You know, and who, it depends. Men will probably leave a woman fast because of double standard when it comes to women cheating. But a woman is more forgiving, and it really depends. Was everything okay in the situation? Was it a little bit of drifting? Not saying that it's okay to go cheat if it's drifting. But that you have to give a specific scenario to speak on. You just can't just say, yeah, I'll leave. But you got 18 kids and 4 houses and all this stuff, and all kids are like between 9 and 10. Like, that's crazy. So you have to consider the situation.
Right. Absolutely. So you got a tip what's to come for next Thursday. Listen, we're out of time. Thank you also very much for joining us. Join us tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational programming. Of course, if you choose to bypass Fridays, join us again back here live next week when our show topic will be, if your significant other cheats on you, what should you do? Until either tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.